Hey everybody, Rich Grisham here. This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Franchise Hockey Manager 3, which, big news, is on sale today for 75% off for the Stanley Cup Finals. Yep, that's right. The Stanley Cup Finals are here. The Penguins versus the Predators should be a fantastic series. And to celebrate, Franchise Hockey Manager 3 is 75% off. For just $9.99, you can get the best hockey strategy game ever made. You can get it through Steam, or you can get it right from Out of the Park Development's website. All you got to do is Google up Franchise Hockey Manager 3. You'll see it is on sale 75% off for the Stanley Cup Finals. This is the hockey game that you can live your hockey fantasy dreams with. You can create your own path to glory, where you are given a very specific set of goals to accomplish as you try to navigate your team through the very challenging waters of either the NHL or international. Or you can open up the sandbox where the world is your oyster, and you can go back in time through the entire history of the NHL and a whole bunch of other leagues and franchises too. Franchise Hockey Manager 3 is an amazing game. It's brought to you by the same guys who make Out of the Park Baseball, and it can be yours today during the Stanley Cup Final sale for just $9.99. So go check it out, like we said, on Steam or through OOTPDevelopments.com. Franchise Hockey Manager 3, 75% off for the Stanley Cup Finals. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Hey, well, we are almost to June, believe it or not, getting into summer here, and that means it's almost E3, it's almost EA Play, a lot of stuff coming down the line here in the next couple weeks we're going to be talking about on the Press Row podcast. But before we get there, we've got some other stuff to clean up from the month of May. That's what we're going to do in this episode. We're going to talk about the ARMS beta, which just began. We're going to talk about an announcement for Super Mega Baseball 2. We're going to talk about an update to NBA Playgrounds, and then also, another subscription service that is going to potentially catch on with consumers, or hopefully do so, and offer more options on the Xbox side of things. But first, Rich Grisham, back with me again. Rich, how are you doing? What you been up to lately?
I'm doing great. Happy Memorial Day.
Oh, yes, absolutely. A nice long weekend for us.
Nice long weekend for everybody. I hope everybody has fun and is safe out there. I'm doing what I've been doing, playing a lot of FIFA on the Xbox EA Access Vault, a lot of that. Continue to play MLB The Show, and those are the focal points of my gameplay right now. I also dabbled in some other things, which we'll talk about later when we get to the subscription service.
Oh, yeah.
FIFA, I want to like it. As everybody knows, I played a lot of Pro Evolution, and I have to turn it on to semi-pro. And when I play it on semi-pro, I can enjoy it. And when I play it on professional, I just can't ever score. So what I've been doing basically is just playing a season as Everton and sort of alternating the difficulty so that I can still try to get better. And really, against the lower teams, I still can't win on professional, but I can usually get a draw. But against the good teams in the Premier League, I can't even come close to getting a win on professional. So I bounce back and forth. And really, that's just more of a guilty pleasure. I know that Pro Evolution is a much, much better game, but I played a ton of it. And I just love the presentation of FIFA and sort of the little bit of extra legitimacy that it gives you.
So, as a side note, Rich, Pro Evolution just launched a mobile game. Did you try that one out?
I haven't. I don't generally enjoy mobile sports games that involve like having to tap or move or slide or stick.
Right.
You know, like that's just not my thing. I much prefer, and that's why I'm looking forward to FIFA on the Switch, for example. Much prefer a traditional game controls for sports. That's why I enjoyed playing sports games on the Vita so much, and it's even on back to the PSP. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping, looking forward to the Switch fitting that, because I don't really know. I don't play mobile. I should try it. I mean, there's no reason not to try it.
Well, I'll give you one reason.
What's that?
It's a gigantic download. It's almost 1.5 gigs for
No way. Yeah, there's no way I could fit it on my phone. My phone is constantly telling me to get, you know, that it's full. Constantly.
Yeah, that was pretty absurd when I downloaded it. But they are offering what they say is the actual game engine from the console version of the game, tailored for mobile. But as you noted, Rich, I'm the same way with mobile games. I don't want to play in a traditional way. And that's why you see a lot of these mobile games now. They are free to play. They're about team building, card collecting, team building type modes. And that's kind of sets the framework for the games. And then they have brief encounters with gameplay, whether it's scenarios or just shorter, you're not committing that amount of time or where you necessarily feel like you have to get into it deeply with a controller like you would on a console, and you'd sit there and it's these quick experiences that mobile's all about. And we've seen that's been successful for these Madden and FIFA and NBA Live with their free-to-play type models on mobile. So that's what Pro Evolution went for. We'll have to see how response is to that. I haven't really monitored it yet. It's pretty much brand new. So we'll probably come back to that in a little bit.
I continue to play the show. I continue to enjoy it. I hop on the treadmill and I generally get in two games of my franchise and then a game of my, or not a game, but like a couple, two or three games of my Road to the Show. And I don't move very quickly because I do it at that pace, but I continue to play both my franchise with the Mets, where I'm doing really well, unlike the real Mets. And I'm also playing as a second baseman in Double A for the Oakland A's well into July, and I'm having an incredibly mediocre first season. Mm-hmm. I'm hitting like 260, got like six homers and 25 or 30 RBIs, like perfectly mediocre across the board. So that's my Road to the Show experience so far.
It's better than stepping in and just dominating right away, which is not realistic. It's what a lot of people expect or want, but it's not realistic.
And the fact that I'm only taking the at-bats really makes it more palatable, too. Yeah. It's just easier to hop in there and over the course of 10 to 15 minutes get 12 to 15 at-bats in three games. That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to something we just started playing, which is ARMS, which is out in late June. This is a Nintendo Switch. This is a new IP for Nintendo, and it's getting a lot of really good buzz leading into this beta that they're holding this weekend and next weekend at designated times for an hour at a time. And so this is a game. Realistically, it's the closest thing we have to a boxing game these days. Strategically, there's some elements of that, but it's of course a little more arcadey. You have characters, you have different weaponized arms that are used, and you earn over time, and you select, and you can customize essentially your fighter based on that. But this beta they're running gives you an opportunity to play online matches against people. So they are testing the online functionality, online performance, and it ran really well. We did the first hour here on Friday, and I had a really good time with it, Rich. I'm curious to hear from you. What's your general impressions? And then we'll talk about kind of the different structure to the games based on how many people are participating, all the different characters, the different types of arms and all of that stuff.
So I didn't even realize that this was happening. I knew it was happening at some point, being the, what do they call it, the Global Test Punch. It's a great name. Mm. It's a great name for a beta. I knew this was happening, but I didn't know when it was happening until you sent me, when we were chatting and you mentioned it. And it's like 2 or 3 hours before it was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is perfect, right? It's Friday night. My family, we're at home, just sort of chilling out on the Friday night after a long, long week, long month. It's the 3-day weekend. And so I didn't really know much of anything about ARMS going into it. So we just basically downloaded it right around 8 o'clock, started playing it. Right? My son played most of it. He actually live streamed it. It was really funny. Hmm. And we had a lot of fun. It's quite a lot of fun. It looks great. We didn't really understand what we were doing. I'm sure there's about three or four levels of gameplay going on. We were basically just punching and grabbing and punching. And sort of later on did we realize that when you got like a certain amount of fire that you could do, you know, sort of unleash some sort of combo or special move or something like that. So it was just mass chaos. Didn't really know what we were doing, but I don't think maybe, you know, there's been a lot of information come out about it, the controls and stuff like that. But anyway, we didn't know what we were doing, but we were having a lot of fun. It's fun. It's just really fun. I don't know, and, you know, we'll get into this, how much of a complete deep experience there is there, but there's definitely bursts of a lot of fun that I think ARMS is going to offer.
Okay, so let's start with what way did you play? So the Nintendo Switch, you can dock it and play it to the TV. You can play it in handheld. I'm curious, did you play it on the tablet or did you play it up on the TV?
So my son streamed it. So I ran it through the TV and through the computer. So we were experiencing it on the big screen.
And what control scheme did you use?
Pro controller.
Okay. Same setup for me. I docked it to my TV so I could record and use the Pro controller. But there are a number of different ways to play, obviously, other than with the Switch. There are specific configurations with the Joy-Cons. So you can play in handheld mode on the tablet. You can play on your TV when it's docked. You can play with two Joy-Cons. You can play with a single Joy-Con, or you can play with a Pro controller. So a lot of really good options. I know when they initially announced the game, it was a lot of people were kind of discouraged because they emphasized the motion control aspect of it, which you and I, obviously, we don't care for. At least in this situation.
No, we do not. I don't care for motion control in any situation myself.
I'm with you on that. So we both went for the basic console experience, which is interesting. I'm curious to hear from other people who tried it out in different ways. I know I got a comment on Twitter saying that, because I had posted some GIFs of the action and saying that it looked like my motion, my guy was moving really fluidly. Everything was fluid and maybe... and that seemed, he asked, how was I playing in what, setup? And so maybe in handheld mode, it's a little jittery or something. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see if performance differs from one to another and then which is the preferred way. Because online, you know, people are going to trend towards what's the best way to play this game. And I don't think it's going to be motion controls, but it could be with the Joy-Con grip. Or it could be with the two individual Joy-Cons. I don't know. Or it might be with Pro Controller like we tried. But there's also, Rich, different configurations for these matches. Okay, there's one versus one.
Yes.
One versus one. One versus one versus one. So three
people.
I
like that.
All against each other.
My son hates that. Yeah, my son hated that. I like it.
And then there's two versus two where you're tethered to your teammate. And so let's talk a little bit about those and what you preferred, what you thought going from one to the next, because I found four to be, it just became button mashing because there's so much havoc on the screen that you can't really strategize as much. Because in the one versus one, what I was finding was I would do a lot of dodging. I would kind of pick my spots. I'd counter. And once you get into the four, I think that becomes more difficult. There's just too much happening on screen. The three-person one is interesting because you can be focused on one of your opponents and get knocked out from behind or something. So you have to be conscious of where each one is and who you want to attack because you're going to expose yourself in certain situations. So a lot of different approaches necessary based on the configuration of the matches, and I want to find out what you thought of each.
Yeah, I liked the one versus one the best because it was so unexpected the first time that I was like, oh, I didn't know you could do this. And you know, it took me a little while just to sort of understand what was happening in the screens where you're waiting to fight, and then after you get in there. And so I liked the one versus one versus one. I don't know, did you play the tennis game at all, by the way?
Yes.
Once I learned what that was we had some fun with that.
Was it tennis or volleyball?
Well, volleyball.
I thought it was volleyball. So right. Yeah, that one surprised me too because I didn't know that was coming. Because you get thrown into these things randomly, as far as I could tell.
No idea what's happening.
Yeah, until it starts up, and so I was like, huh. What am I supposed to do here?
So, right.
Yeah.
And so with the volleyball, when you are punching the ball and you want it to land, no one explains this to you.
Yeah.
As soon as it lands on one side or the other, the person whose side it does not land on gets the point.
Yeah.
And so we did that. That was kind of fun.
I was going to say, did you play the volleyball in 1v1 or 2v2 or both? Because I
1v1. Oh, no, we didn't get 2v2. That's interesting.
The 2v2 in volleyball was pretty good. I actually liked that one a lot. That because the ball was kept up for a significant amount of time because you had two people on each side. But it was pretty fun. So, I mean, I'm going to have a lot of this footage in a video I'll have up this weekend. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And I think there's a lot of unique things. It kind of reminded me of a Rocket League where they could come, where an ARMS could come with different ideas, different concepts, and kind of experiment. Like volleyball, I would have never thought of volleyball in ARMS, but there's all sorts of different things they could probably do. Doesn't have to just be fighting, and this is Nintendo, so I'd imagine they would go that route and try different types of modes and different types of unique situations to experiment with those ARMS and how they can make for compelling different types of gameplay.
I agree. I'm excited and interested. Well, excited is not the right word. I'm interested in this much more now after having played it. I really watched my son play most of it. I played a few matches, but my son was playing the most. But I'm definitely more interested in it now than I was before. So they, from that perspective, at least when it comes to me and my son, who said the same thing, he's like, "Well, I'm really interested in this now. This definitely did its job. I'm much more inclined to buy this game when it comes out." I'm not saying I definitely will, but I kind of, you know, and hopefully, I don't know if we'll be able to participate in at least a couple more of the test runs or test punches, but hopefully we can get into a couple more. But it certainly, like, just when you're battling and sort of trying to time it, and you can sort of punch from far across, and you can dodge, and you got your shield. Like there's a whole lot going on that can really, really be entertaining. So I really had fun in all of the modes. There wasn't any mode that I did not like, and there was about four or five different types of battles that there were.
Yeah. I was impressed. All the fights for me were smooth and responsive.
Yes.
No disconnections, nothing weird, which you would kind of expect for a test session like this.
Yes.
They're stressing themselves out with this because anybody with a Nintendo Switch and most people with a Switch are desperate for something new. They've had Zelda for a while now, a couple months. So this is an opportunity. It's free. There was no limit on the number of people involved. I don't know how many ended up doing it, but anybody
it was also, by the way, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. It worked great. Like, you know, you mentioned when you mentioned to me earlier, I just went to my Switch, I downloaded it. It took just a minute or so to download. And then, you know, right at 8 o'clock, you know, I went to jump in and we got in and started playing. Like it worked great. And that there's a lot to be said for that.
It's a rarity, Rich, to have anything online related like that work from minute one. And we know this all too well as sports gaming fans. So there are 7 different characters in the beta. Did you find yourself leaning towards one? Did you try different ones or did you stick with someone?
Yeah, my son picked a guy and we sort of stuck with him as we wanted to get in as much battling as we could. And so we were just passing it back and forth and back and forth. And we most of the time stuck with the one guy. And I don't think you could change his loadout. You sort of get 3 different things that you can customize your character with, right? Like a weapon and a glove and something else. But it seemed like we were locked in to them.
And if we weren't. Yeah, they were. Each character had their own unique 3. You couldn't, as far as I could tell, you couldn't change it past those 3. But in the full game, you'll be able to unlock those and utilize different ones. But not here in the beta, at least.
but I don't remember what the name of it, it was, but it was is one of the guys, and it was like, I think sort of the tall, thin one. It certainly wasn't like the mummy or wasn't one of the girls. I don't remember the specific name. Japanese name, though.
Okay, the ninja guy?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so I like the ninja guy a lot, and I like the blob guy. I don't know why. But, it, you know, it probably has to do with movement. It has to do with their particular weapons. And I tried, I think, every one of them except for the mummy guy. I'd already read he's kind of at a disadvantage. I didn't want anybody who was slow and just prodding. I wanted to be able to utilize movement, and so that's kind of the direction I went. But
right,
they all felt different, which is good. They all had different arms, like we said, which is good. So I imagine people are going to settle on their favorites and ones that they succeed with more. So that's kind of an interesting element to it too. But lastly, I think, unless you had something else to add, I think what's great about arms from this beta is that it's so quick to get in and out. Like those each match, 30 seconds, a minute maybe, right? And you're not loading in for a long time either. Usually once the match is found, you're in within like 15 seconds. So I was really impressed with the just the way it all turned out, and that you can go in and within that hour, I probably I don't know how many different fights and volleyball matches I had. It had to have been 20 or so. So it was really really impressive in that sense as well.
Agreed. They did a great job. It looks like it's a fun game. And who am I kidding? I'm sure I'll buy it as soon as it comes out. I mean, that's what Switch owners do. We buy a lot. Although, actually, I'm not guilty of that. We bought two games on our Switch, Zelda and Mario Kart. Mm. And that's it. I haven't bought any of the other ones. I haven't really. You know, once the virtual console, assuming it comes on, becomes a big part of it, I guarantee you I'll buy a whole bunch of the old stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's all that we bought for the Switch. But that's all that's all my son really wants. He's actually on his, I think, third Zelda run. So he's nine. He enjoys doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. We're going to take just a moment to thank our sponsors for this week, HelloFresh. These guys do a fantastic job. And I am now a customer, and you can help the Press Row podcast and have some great meals. And we'll tell you how to do that at the end of this. So real quick, let me tell you what HelloFresh is. They are on a mission to save home cooking because it's just too good to go away. They want to make cooking more fun, so they focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. So they think of themselves as three different kind of companies all at one. Number one, a farm-to-box company, because they want everyone to have access to fresh ingredients that inspire great meals. But they're also a couch-to-kitchen company because they think the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses is by feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. And third, they are a fork-to-feel-good company because when you cook and eat delicious and healthy meals, you're going to want to keep doing it again and again. And I can vouch for this because HelloFresh sent us a big old box with several meals, and it came in an insulated box, and it had the frozen ice packs in there, which kept everything nice and fresh. And those, by the way, are reusable. So we tossed them into the freezer, and we actually wound up using them when we went to the beach a few days later. They offer different things, a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. You can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week designed for either 2 or 4 people. New recipes are created every week. In 6 easy-to-master steps, they get you chopping, zesting, and cooking like a natural because most of the recipes take just 30 minutes and require minimal equipment. And this is totally legit. As I mentioned, my wife and my son, he's 9. He was working with her, and they got all the stuff out, and they chopped, and they zested, and they cooked, and they did everything that they had to do. And it was a really, really great meal at the end. And I am now officially a HelloFresh customer. So the way that you can help us out is simple. All you got to do, you got to go to HelloFresh.com and enter the code PRESSROW30 when you subscribe. When you do that, you get $30 off your first week of deliveries. That is a great savings. So HelloFresh.com, enter PRESSROW30 when you subscribe. This is a really good service. It really makes life easier and better. You know, if you want to have a good meal, but you want to prepare it and you want to sort of get everybody in the kitchen, this is a fantastic way to do it. And it's cost effective too. For less than $10 a meal, you're going to have much better dinner than if you were, you know, to do that guilty pleasure, drive it over to that fast food place or order that same pizza that you've had four times in the last 8 days. Check out HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code PRESSROW30. Get $30 off your first week of deliveries. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, HelloFresh. Thank you for listening to the Press Row podcast, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Well, okay. So that's arms. So I'm pretty excited about what that's going to bring here in a few weeks. Another game I'm really excited about, we got some news on today, and it's Super Mega Baseball 2. So the history of Super Mega Baseball for us, I mean, it goes back to 2014 when it originally launched, and we were really pleased with the game. I don't remember if, were you one of the people super supportive of it, Rich, or was it, that was Owen and Submit, and you were in its corner, right, Super Mega Baseball?
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't
have it. I was trying to remember. There was someone who didn't rate it as highly as us, but yeah.
Well, there were a couple people both on the show and sort of like various friends of the show on the, but for the most part, we all liked it, and I certainly did. And I'm looking forward to the new one, which you're going to talk about. We've had a chance to meet with the guys who made the game a couple different times at a couple different conferences and stuff. They're good guys. They put everything they had into this franchise, and it's to see that they're making a second one is awesome. I just love to see that. You know, you root for people that are that dedicated because it's really hard to do what they're doing. So to me, this is great news all around, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah. If you go back, our Press Row podcast voting for 2014, Super Mega Baseball won what was called the Rookie of the Year Award, so for a new sports game, and came in third in the overall Sports Game of the Year Award, which was unexpected, I think, for a lot of people, that an unlicensed game that kind of looked a little cartoony and all that would crack the top three for our Sports Game of the Year voting. But it did. I mean, it had some really cool features. Some really good design behind it.
Strategy.
Yeah.
Strategy. Absolutely. Really interesting approach that added a whole extra layer of spice to a game.
So the news we got relates to its release date, Rich, and it seems like this becomes a topic really, really often in our podcasts, but it's absolutely necessary to discuss, and that's every game but a few seemingly coming out within about a 4 to 5 week window for the whole year, okay? Like, other than MLB The Show and a few scattered, 80% of the sports games for the year come out from the end of August through the end of September. It's absurd. And what it does is it really hurts the smaller games. It really hurts the games that would maybe perform well or maybe get consumer awareness if they weren't overshadowed by the likes of Madden, NBA 2K, FIFA, Pro Evolution Soccer, NASCAR, NHL. I mean, those seven games right there are ones we know release from the end of August through mid-September, like the 20th or 22nd, somewhere in that range. I mean, it's a very short window. And for this game, for Super Mega Baseball, you can see the reason why they would shoot for September. I'm guessing because they originally said it would be mid-2017. So I think they probably originally wanted it out around the All-Star break. And it's not necessarily a bad thing that they aren't rushing the game, that they're trying to do it right, and that they needed more time. That's a positive. But where it lands now in September, I'm really worried, Rich. I'm really worried that for an unlicensed game going up against seven or more, because there's always possibly going to be more games in that same window, that it's going to get lost in the shuffle there, Rich. That's my biggest concern, and I am worried about it because I actually care. I want this game to succeed. I want more people to give it a shot. If you look at the original Super Mega Baseball, that went on PlayStation Plus at one point. It's on Microsoft Xbox Game Pass, which we'll be talking in a bit. So there's opportunities to play the original, and I hope a lot of people do take that chance to, if they haven't tried it already, try it. It works. It still works years later because it's not a licensed game. It's just a fun game. But I am concerned, Rich, because I don't know how it can possibly do well in that insanely competitive time frame.
You bring up a great point, and it is a curious time frame that has a lot to do with a lot of things that we know nothing about. Right? We don't know the state of the development. We don't know the contractual situation. We don't know if perhaps Super Mega Baseball, and I don't know if did they announce a price for it?
No, not yet.
So we don't know if maybe it will be sort of part of a offering for one of the services that we're going to talk about a little later. Mm. You know, whether it's PlayStation Plus or Games with Gold or Game Pass. Like, you don't know that. Like, there's so with all of that. Like, yes, it's a curious time frame, but maybe they'll use it. Maybe Sony or Microsoft. I don't know if it's what platforms it's coming out with. Maybe it'll be another sort of lever they can pull to get people to sign up for their services. Or maybe it will be a $20 or a $30 or a $40 game, independent sports game, arcade game released into the teeth of the sports game schedule, right? I mean, those are all possibilities. And yeah, of course, there's reasons to be worried because of everything that you said. On the other hand, perhaps at the right price and the right time of year, people, it's a World Series, people are excited about baseball, maybe that combination could work. I don't know. It's hard to make a case that that's a good time for that game.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So it's understandable that they want to get it out while the baseball season is still going. So they have through October to do that. But let me explain why this is such a problem, because even a good game can get overwhelmed in a period like that. So money came up, of course. Money is either, it's limited. People were only going to have so much money and only going to be willing to spend so much money. And when you have the massive games that sell millions upon millions, if not over 10 million copies a year, releasing right around that time, games start to drop down the list. It goes from being a game that maybe in July would have been your top consideration to third, fourth, fifth, whatever it might be. But besides money, because Rich, you mentioned a way around that potentially, as far as we've seen, like with Rocket League and Disc Jam, games that released as free through PlayStation Plus. There's more issues here, even if it was going to do that, and that's exposure. It's really hard to get any sort of press. It's really hard to get any sort of social groundswell going when those games, those NBA 2Ks, those Maddens, those FIFAs are swarming. They are just overwhelming everything, right, as far as sports go. And then there's time. There's also time, because even if you are excited for Super Mega Baseball, if you pick up NBA 2K, you may not have time to really play another game. Or if you pick up NBA 2K and Madden, or NBA 2K and FIFA, or whatever it might be, those other games, once they're prioritized, they start getting pushed off to the side and like, no, I can live without it, or I'll wait, or whatever it might be. And again, it's tough for me, because even as someone who, I know I'm going to get all these games, I can't commit what I would want to a Super Mega Baseball 2 if I'm also spending all that time with everything I do in Madden, with everything I do in 2K, with reviews for other games, you know, just for me personally, but there's a lot of people out there who only have an hour or two a day or a couple hours a week to play video games. And so again, it comes down to priorities, unfortunately. And as fun as a Super Mega Baseball might be, and as much as someone might love Super Mega Baseball 2, you know, it's hard. It simply can't compete with the games like NBA 2K that are releasing right around the same time, Rich.
You're right. So maybe it's not really competing with those games. Just because we say it is doesn't mean that it is. A game like that might have a very different target market. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about these games because this is a big part of what we do. But there are plenty of people who aren't in the throes of that who would be looking through the Xbox store or the, you know, Sony PlayStation store, or I don't know if it's going to be a physical release, like this is a digital release only. You know, if they get the right spot on the right page and the right feature section, you know, maybe that exposure will happen, and maybe a certain group of people would lean towards it. A lot of it depends upon awareness, especially in the digital only world, being able to get your image front and center or somewhere where people are going to see it instead of having to search for it. People react a lot more to stuff that they see than they have to search for. To get someone to search for something takes a real dedicated digital marketing program, really, unless you're buying expensive 30-second spots on national sports games, which you know, TV games, which most sports games can't do. Certainly not an indie sports game. So, you know, there's a lot of blocking and tackling you got to do for that kind of awareness. It's a tough spot. There's just no doubt about it. And you got to hope that a combination of being a really good game and getting some support from your publishing partners and getting a group of people in the YouTube influence, you know, sphere, because you need that these days for a game to get attention. You have got to have a cadre of YouTubers playing your game.
That's
what I, you know, the whole, and I think Microsoft announced their newest version of it, or renamed Beam to Mixer, you know. So there's all these different platforms that are fluid and moving and changing, but no matter what, the games are much more dependent than ever on other people promoting their games for them via YouTube and Twitch. It's a whole thing. So there's a lot that goes into the mix. It's a tough spot, but you know, I think they're going to get a decent amount of coverage from the press because they were a press darling in 2014 and deservedly so. So they'll get a bit of that too.
But even that, Rich, I mean, we had those discussions, I believe when you interviewed them, was that, look, it had an 85 on Metacritic. It had a lot of support out there. It was winning and in the mix in different Sports Game of the Year awards. I mean, Polygon awarded it Sports Game of the Year that year. And still, it's not like it broke out into, you know, Rocket League success, right? I mean, it's a very difficult situation for an unlicensed sports game to kind of capture that mind share. And that's why, even if it's really good, even under the best of circumstances, it may not do as well as we would hope. And that's why it just really, I saw the news on this come out, and that was my first reaction was, oh boy, you know, I don't know if it's going to work there or not.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm rooting for them. I will very likely buy it. I bought the original a couple different times on different platforms in a show of support. And for a lot of people out there who say that they, you know, where have all the arcade sports games gone? Mm-hmm. As they start to come back, even if these games might not be amazing, I'm not saying they will or won't be, you know, if you really want to see these games get made, buy them. Just go spend the $20, spend the $30, spend whatever it is, because that's the best way to get people to keep making these games like Playgrounds and Super Mega Baseball and the others that have come out.
Well, thank you for that transition, Rich, because I wanted to discuss NBA Playgrounds a bit, because this is another arcade-style game, and we had a whole review roundtable show about it a couple weeks ago. And basically, the verdict was that you could see it had a lot of potential, But there were some design decisions that were missteps along the way, and there were some gameplay issues that had to be addressed, and there were roster concerns within, you know, the method in which you earn players and unlock players and things of that nature. And what they did was developer Saber Interactive just released a new patch for the game, a pretty big patch that kind of changes the game almost completely. And that went out on PC. It's out on PS4. I don't think it's reached Xbox One yet. It may have by the time you listen to this. And I know it hasn't reached Nintendo Switch yet, and Nintendo Switch still doesn't even have online play, something that was promised to be delivered just a couple days after release was what they originally promised, and now it still doesn't. So that's still overshadowing the situation on Nintendo Switch, but a lot of interesting changes here, and most of it's based on feedback that came in from people who played the game, from reviewers, from all of that. And some of the biggest changes include they added the ability to play friends online. They added a penalty for people who quit online games, which wasn't happening before. They added a shot meter for dunks and layups. They increased the difficulty of three-point shots. They reduced the wait time when inbounding the ball after a score. They also added 15 new players to the roster. Did you get a chance to play it since the patch, Rich? Because I have not yet.
No, not since the patch either. But I'm looking forward to playing you. I want to play you. And I want to play like a series, a seven-game series. I want to have some fun. Want to record it. Want to stream it. Want to trash talk. I want to do the whole thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've been following some of the reaction to the patch. And I think the purpose behind it and the responsiveness of the development team is being celebrated. It's not getting overwhelming praise for the changes. I think anytime, especially with an arcade game, once people settle in and find what works for them, changing that is not always going to be accepted very well. I imagine a lot of people who have gotten used to shooting threes nonstop, because with a guy like Steph Curry, you almost couldn't miss even from half court. Things like that. Once you get used to that, taking that away from them is a different story. So I've seen a bit of a mixed reaction to that. People complaining they don't make a high enough percentage of threes now. People complaining about steals because now you can steal from behind. But what the developers did try to do was balance a lot of stuff. And obviously that's the case with three-point shots because that became the go-to strategy for most people online, but offline also, but online, where it really annoys opponents. When an NBA Jam type game was always more, wasn't outside shooting game, right, Rich? It was spectacular dunks and
yes,
it was about those type of moments instead of just being an outside shooting game, which is kind of odd for this type of game. So,
well, but back then basketball in 2017 is a pure three-point shooting game, and it wasn't when NBA Jam came out. I mean, the game is completely different now.
Yeah,
it's so different than it was then.
Yeah, so absolutely. The question, of course, is just does that make the game fun to play or less fun to play if you're trying to replicate kind of the style of the NBA these days? And I think for most people online, it was not particularly fun to get into three-point shooting fests. It just felt overpowered, and it took away a lot of the strategy. And then there were other things with power-ups and stuff that hopefully they're going to address later. But I think it's good to see the level of support that NBA Playgrounds is already getting, because we talked about, you know, here's what they can do with patches to make the game really good. Here's what they can do in a sequel to make the game really good. They're not abandoning NBA Playgrounds. And I said this in the last show or in my review or both, I don't remember which, but you don't, a company like this, a new studio does not, in sports gaming, they've made other shooting games before, but a new studio entering into a licensed area is not going to spend the money and acquire the license and put in the effort to actually convince a league to give them that license without having a long-term plan. This was never going to be something that was just dumped and moved on from. There's way too much that went into this for them to ever abandon it right away. So what we're seeing right now is that in effect. The developers are putting a lot of effort into making the game better, and they want to make this something that improves over time, that gains a following with NBA fans, with arcade-style sports game fans. I think this is a good first step, but there's still a lot more I think they got to do here. But again, I mean, for just a few weeks in, they've already changed quite a few things that were noted by a lot of people.
Well, here's the thing, and this is just because of who I am. I never purport to speak for anybody else. The fact that I can play you now, I'm assuming this works, that I can just go on and say, hey, Brian, let's play, and we can play
you,
a game.
Rich. I'm going to cheese you with, I don't know how I'll do it now, but I will find a way to irritate you, Rich.
I mean, to me, that's all I even want to do in a game like this. And so I'm so happy that that's there because, you know, you run into a wall when you're playing the single player against the top division teams or whatever. They just basically cheat. And the ability for us to play and for me to play against a few of my friends to me is all that I want. So I'm glad it's there. I want to try it, and I want to play, and I want to play against you, and I want to play against Pete. I want to play against TJ. I want to play against Millennium. I want to play all you guys. Let's get out there on the court.
All right, we'll do that, and we'll check back in an upcoming episode on how that went. Finally, let's talk about another subscription service, Rich, because this is the direction that we've seen the industry start to go. EA Access has done really well. Consumers really like it. $30 a year, getting a full back library of EA games on Xbox One. There's also Origin Access, and of course, the other perks you get with a subscription being 10% off digital purchases, and then 10-hour trials for unreleased games or just about to be released or after, because those continue. You can use those at any point. Now, Xbox One has got another subscription service, Rich. This one for $10 a month. So we're talking a much bigger investment, but also a much bigger library of games. So Xbox Game Pass on Xbox One has over 100 games, includes the likes of, as far as sports go, NBA 2K16, The Golf Club, and, as we discussed earlier, Super Mega Baseball.
But wait, no, it doesn't.
What?
That's not true, and this has been frustrating to me. Okay. NBA 2K16 costs $31.99.
Wait, what?
Yes.
That's not what it said.
I'm telling you, I have the service, and I'm logged in. NBA 2K16 is not part of the service. It is out on a discount at $31.99.
That is one of the games that is literally up front on their on the page.
I mean, it's a discount.
It's
not
image.
Part of it. I'm telling you, I'm looking at it right now. My Xbox One is turned on, and I was surprised by that. There's a bunch of games. Like, there's a bunch of games that are free, but there's a bunch of games that are just at discounts.
Okay, so that's odd. I'm looking at the Xbox Game Pass website right now, Rich, and it says, enjoy unlimited access to over 100 great Xbox One and 360 titles for $10 a month, including Halo 5, Payday 2, NBA 2K16, and Lego Batman. Is it just not free during the trial period? Because you're just on the trial period right now, right?
That's true. I am on the trial period. So maybe that's the case. But there's a bunch of games that are at discounts and not free. Like Payday 2, Crime Wave right now shows discounted to $15.99, not free as part of it.
Yeah, so as far as discounts go, it says, do you want to own an Xbox game you love? If you're interested in add-on or season pass for a title you're playing in the catalog, that's 20% off Xbox One game purchases and 10% off add-ons. So, yeah,
Halo 5 is $20, not free. But there's a bunch, tons of free games, too. Like, all the BioShocks are free, for example.
Yeah.
dozens and dozens are for free. So I don't know if it's because I am in the trial or not. I mean, I'm signed up for this. I'm ready. I'm already.
It's literally in the list of Game Pass games. I mean, I don't know what. Okay. So there's got to be something going on there that's not right, because they are pushing it. It's in their main image. It's in the list of games. It's in the writing in their press release. So
This is what it says. I just clicked on it. NBA 2K16. Well, it says with Xbox Game Pass, play this game for free or buy it to own. $31.99 with your Xbox Game Pass membership. Okay, so if I install it.
If you install it, you might be able to use it.
I'm not paying for it, but I am installing it. Okay, my bad. So it's very misleading then, because I'm looking at the menu.
Yeah.
Right? I'm looking at, on the screen at the menu. So, well, that's even better, because that's one of the things I was going to complain about, Brian, because I have this. But now if that's. If now all of these games on here I can play, that makes it even better because now there's even more. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to confuse you.
We've cleared it up real time. And if it happens with you, Rich, I guarantee you there are other people out there who probably looked at it the same exact way. And so that's hopefully we help some people with that, or Microsoft figures out, or maybe they want it that way. Maybe they do, right.
Who knows?
Spend it. But yeah, so... Okay, NBA 2K16 is in there.
Golf Club,
Super Mega Baseball.
It is.
Gears of War, BioShock, Halo. And then there's a bunch of smaller games in there.
Bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so some really good stuff. And
Farming Simulator 15, and I'm not joking. I've never played one of these games. I want to see what one of these games is like.
You got to do it. I haven't either. So this is a pretty impressive offering. Like I mentioned, it's a 14-day free trial, which if you have Xbox Live Gold, you can go ahead and take advantage of that. After that, if you want to keep going, it's going to be the $10 a month.
I'm ready.
So, yeah. So this is the way I look at it, too. I think this is a big differentiator for people who are trying to decide whether they want to buy an Xbox One or a PS4, because I always go back to initial costs, initial investments. You're talking $250, $300 for one of these systems now. And you might want to buy a new controller, whatever else. You got to buy Xbox Live. You got to buy PlayStation Plus. All that stuff.
You got to buy an external hard drive, too, because these games, there's a lot of gigabytes of games.
So, or you got to get one of the giant hard drives. So, how I view it is it's a really inviting option to have for Xbox One, because when you buy all that stuff all at once, you got to buy games too, right? You got to buy another $60 game, or you're going to buy a couple $60 games or whatever. Yeah, you might get something bundled in, but you're still very limited in what you can play. Now with Xbox One, for $12.50 a month, if you count the $10 a month for Xbox Games Pass, and you count $30 a year for EA Access, which amounts to the $2.50 a month, you are looking at $12.50 a month. That's a fifth, about a fifth of the cost of just a single game, and you're getting like 150 games at your disposal. So I think that makes it really an intriguing option, something that you have to consider if you're buying both consoles. I don't know if it's something where you say Xbox One is the obvious now, because as a sports fan, we always go back to, it doesn't have an MLB game. It doesn't have the show. But it's hard to say, the better value here is probably on the Xbox side because of these subscription services. It's unfortunate that Sony doesn't really have something quite comparable. They have their own things going, but it's not nearly as good as either one of what these offer.
Well, a couple of reasons I really love this. Love, love, love this. Number one, this is where entertainment is now in 2017. Mm-hmm. We are a Netflix, Amazon, on-demand society with our entertainment. So this is great. I love it. I want to be able to play a whole bunch of different games instead of having to pick and choose like I've had to do in the past, like with the way that I listen to music now. I literally listen to any song by anybody, and it's amazing to be able to do that. I want the same thing in video games. So this is great. Another reason this is great is because you download the games onto your hard drive. You're not streaming. I get that streaming is a thing that you can rely on to be pretty good most of the time. I still strongly prefer being able to play the game that's downloaded onto the hard drive. Much, much, much rather that. And this lets you do that. Whereas the PlayStation Now, I believe, is just streaming. At least it was, and I think it still is. So I am so happy that this exists. I signed up for it. I've downloaded even more games now because I haven't had to buy them. I've probably got 20 that I've downloaded. I'm going to dabble in all of them, maybe play some of them more than others. I have no idea. I don't know. I've never had anything quite like this. I'm excited. This is what I want. I don't want to have to buy individual games anymore. I just want to be able to pay a certain amount of money, get a whole lot of options, and this is great. And the game selection is not spectacular. I will be the first to tell you that. Not spectacular at all. I hope it gets bigger. I could totally see shutting it off for a couple of months here and there, like when some big games come out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's the way that it's set up right now is definitely – it's really nice for backwards, for old 360 games. There's a ton of great stuff in here.
Yeah.
But, you know, unlike EA Access where I sort of kind of feel like I'm going to have it all the time, and I don't know why, it's just I'm always playing something in there. I could see dropping this for a couple of months here and there during, like, you know, August, September, October, right? When I'm not going to be playing my backlog, I'm going to be playing the latest sports games. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited. I'm glad. This is what I want. This is the future. This is how video games are going to be played. It's how they're being played now, right? This is it. It's here. I'm glad.
Yep. Well, all right, Rich. I think that covers May. You excited for June?
I'm excited for June, July, August, September, the whole thing.
Yeah. Stuff's going to be happening. A lot of stuff's going to be happening. So we're going to have, like I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to have episodes pre-E3 EA Play. We're going to have reaction episodes to E3 EA Play and a whole bunch of other stuff coming down the line. So we're excited for that as always. Thank you to the listeners out there. Thank you to Rich Grisham out of the Park Developments for once again joining me for the Press Roll podcast. Look for another show from us next week. Thank you, everyone. Take care till then.